the latest technology.
The perfect must-have for every golfer.
The coolest trends.
Oh, gnarly!
Insight from the hottest talent and industry insiders.
Sometimes par is good enough to win.
The South Shore's only golf show on the radio.
This is Goldie Bounce Golf Live.
It's in the hole!
Here's your host, Liza Churchill.
Welcome to Goldie Bounce Golf. I'm your host, Liza Churchill, coming to you live from the lovely South Shore Studios of 95.9 WATD. I hope you all had a good tax-free weekend and you had a chance to go buy some golf equipment tax-free. I was taking a gander at the 2010 PGA Championship, and it's pretty exciting, the final scores. So we don't know who's going to win here. Looks like Bubba Watson's got the clubhouse lead, so hopefully he can pull it off. My guest tonight is the 2003 RE/MAX Senior World Long Drive Champ and PGA Teaching Professional Eric Jones. Eric can probably give us a little insight into Bubba Watson's long drives. So Eric, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you so much for calling in.
No problem.
So tell me what exactly a World Long Drive Champion is.
once a year they have the World Long Drive Championships. They're held in Mesquite, Nevada. About the end of October, and most viewers are probably used to seeing it on TV on ESPN on Christmas Day, so it's broadcast annually at that time. There are, I think, more than 20,000 people who try to qualify each year, and from 19 different countries. So it really is a world championship, and it is quite an event.
Is it held in a stadium, like a football stadium, or where is it held?
in a sense, I mean, they're seating all around the tee off area and stuff. But you know, these guys we're hitting the balls down 400 yards down a fairway, so. They're seating around the tee area, and it kind of looks like a stadium or something you'd see at a golf course where everyone's lined up behind the tee box watching everybody drive.
Now, out of the 20,000 people, are there different qualifying sites over the months before the event?
Yeah, actually, it's a fairly complicated process to get there and pretty rigorous. There are hundreds of local qualifiers at all kinds of places all over the country, and from the locals, all the winners go to a regional. And then the winners from the regional advance on to the world. So there's only 128 competitors in the open division and 68 in the senior division each year for each one of those. So the field gets narrowed down quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a couple websites for the long drives. There's like longdrivers.com. That seems like a major website with the listings for all the competitions in the U.S. Are there different competitions?
Right. Long Drivers is the name of the website, and Art Salinger, who runs the Long Drivers of America, he's the commissioner of the sport, I guess you'd say. And so they are the major information source and the sponsor and holder of all of the major, really big long drive events throughout the year.
Yeah, I thought it was a great website. I learned a lot from it. And there's also an American Long Drivers Association.
Yep. Yeah. There's another one. So you know, it's surprising. It's a little, you know, kind of a niche long drive, but there's lots of little long drive things all over the place, including the ALDA. Yeah.
So Larry, my producer, can you hit it pretty far, like you a long driver there, Larry?
I can pick it up and throw it.
When you get mad, you throw your club.
Okay.
Oh, we're talking about golf, Larry. I'm a golf show. Larry's my producer. He's great. He's really funny, too.
My clubs are collecting dust with my dad's in my garage right now.
Oh, well, we'll get you out there. But getting back to Eric here, I was wondering how you got into long drive competition when you were playing golf at Stanford University out there in California. Could you have ever imagined that you'd win the Senior Long Drive World Championship?
Honestly, it was the furthest thing from my mind. I got into it kind of by a lark. It was sort of a funny story. I went to a club builder to update my equipment, and when he found out how far I was hitting the equipment he was building for me, he asked me if I would join his long drive team. And at first I was a little hesitant because I was playing a lot of amateur tournaments and, you know, trying to get myself ranked and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, you know, it's a 30% discount if you're on the team. I said, sign me up.
Definitely.
So it was sort of serendipitous. And then the very next weekend, I went to a little local qualifier and won the qualifier and went on to the regionals and went to regionals. And so on to the world. And lo and behold, the very first time I ever competed in long drive, wound up winning the world championship.
That's crazy. So it was a pretty, it was a fast track there for you.
Well, in a sense, yeah, in a sense. I had about a month and a half between the local and the regional qualifiers, and then almost 2 months between the regional and the world. And I will say that I got pretty serious about learning how to hit the ball further. I practiced every day and hit 100 to 200 drives, you know, every day, and really taught myself how to hit the ball further. Because one of the things, you know, your viewers might be interested in, I'm not a very big guy. So when I get out there, all these other guys sort of tower over me, but I still am able to hold my own. So.
Well, what's the average height and weight for some of these long drive hitters?
You know, I go about 6 feet and a little under 200 pounds, and I probably give away 2 to 6 inches and, you know, 40 to 70 pounds against my competitors on average.
Now, they seem a little bulkier than the PGA Tour players. Is that so? Like their builds?
I would say definitely so, yeah.
Because it seems like they're not so lean.
No. But, you know, being big and powerful doesn't always necessarily guarantee that you're going to hit the ball further. So I sort of like to feel like I'm the David amongst the Goliath.
I wanted to know, actually, when you won that 2003 Senior World Long Drive Championship, what was in your bag? What club did you use? And what ball were you striking?
Well, we all used the same balls. We were sponsored by Pinnacle.
All right.
And so everybody hit the same golf ball. So that was kind of nice, the Pinnacle Gold. So that was one of the equalizers. And I was fortunate enough to find a sponsor, a small club manufacturer out of L.A. by the name of Alpha, and I've been hitting Alpha clubs, you know, pretty much ever since then. So they just make really solid heads, and I like the way they feel, and I like the way they look. So I've been an Alpha driver for a long time.
Wow. What's the most winningest club out of all these competitions? Like, is there one club that, you know, the winners use? Or,
I don't,
you know what I mean? Does everyone use different equipment? Or?
Yeah, everybody uses different club heads and different shafts. So those are unique to just about every player. You know, Cobra has been a big sponsor for a long time, and Cobra has a lot of championships. And the guy, one of the guys who's the legend in long drive, his name is Jason Zuback. Been a Cobra player for a long time, and he's got 5 world championships under his belt. You know, but it's interesting. You know, small companies come out and they make new innovations in club heads, and as long as they're conforming to USGA standards, you know, just tiny increments in technological improvements can make a little, you know, a big difference out there when you're trying to eke out another yard or two for maximum distance. So, you know, new companies come and go, but probably Cobra, I would say, over the long haul has been the best club heads from long drive.
Well, that's really exciting because, you know, Puma Golf North America bought the Cobra brand here from the Acushnet company locally near where we are.
Uh-huh.
So they just launched pretty much their sales team this month.
Terrific.
So that's pretty exciting.
I hope they keep supporting long drive.
You're also you have a master's degree in sports psychology. How did you get interested in that as well?
Well, believe it or not, also interested in, I mean, also related to the World Long Drive Championship. And if you don't mind, I'll tell the little story behind it. When I first qualified, you know, through the regionals and qualified for the Worlds, I went to my swing coach, a fellow by the name of Ernie Barber, and I said, Ernie, I just qualified for the Worlds. I need a lesson. He said, great, come on in, sit down. Where's your clubs? I said, Ernie, I really don't need a lesson with my clubs. I hit it plenty far. I need a lesson between my ears. And so Ernie and I sat down, and we talked for an hour. And honestly, God, it was the best lesson I ever had. He asked me how I was going to practice, how I was going to prepare, what I was going to think about on the tee, what I was going to do in different situations. And he said, this is the way you ought to practice. And he wound up giving me a couple of tapes by a sports psychologist. And I listened to those really pretty religiously, you know, just about every day in my car whenever I would go anyplace. And by the time I got up on the tee, and it came down to my very last ball in the finals in a place I'd never been before, with 4,000 fans in the stadium and under the lights and ESPN cameras and, you know, the biggest venue I'd ever been in. I was actually ready, and I knew exactly what I needed to do. And I knew it was because of the mental preparation that I had done. So as soon as I won the world, the week after that, I said, okay, this is the thing that's kind of been missing from my game. Even as an amateur, I played well. I said, I'm going to go find out more about it. And strangely enough, there happened to be a university in my backyard that did a master's program in sports psychology. So I went to the dean and asked her if I could audit some classes, and I started auditing. And the next thing you knew, I got my master's degree.
So. That's incredible. Well, listen, Eric, stay on the line. You're listening to Goldie Bounds Golf on 95.9 WATD, the South Shore's favorite radio station. Up next, a word from my sponsor, Golfology.
To play like a pro, you have to shop at the best. Golfology offers the best, top-of-the-line equipment, in-store demos, computerized club fitting, and certified golfologists ready to help you take your game to the next level. Golfology, 19 consecutive years as winner of the 25 best golf course retailers in America, according to Golf World Business. In Hanover and Hyannis, and online at golfologyusa.com.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. My guest tonight is 2003 RE/MAX Senior World Long Drive Champ and PGA Teaching Professional, Eric Jones. Eric's out of Northern California. So, Eric, we were talking about your sports psychology. I wanted to ask you what your teaching philosophy is when you teach your students. How do you integrate your sports psychology along with your techniques?
It's a great question and something that I spend a lot of time and energy thinking about and working on. And I realized how important the mental side of the game was for me, and then went out and learned a lot about it. What I was also learning at the same time was how to share that information with my students. And so what I found is I think we spend too much time as teachers teaching the mechanics of the game. You know, teaching what kind of swing plane and grip do we need to do. There's a whole mental side of the game that probably doesn't get taught often enough. But I think my philosophy has evolved as I've continued to work with, you know, thousands of students. What I found is when you don't really separate the mental part of the game from the mechanical part of the game, people can really accelerate their level of play. So what I try to do is make my instruction seamless. If somebody needs help kind of in mental part of the game, then they get that from me. If they need help with the mechanical part of the game, then they get that. But I find that the mechanics can inform the mental part, and the mental part can inform the mechanics. And so they really work together. And if you can teach that way in a sort of a holistic approach, that the students really get better. So I make no distinction between mental skills and physical skills when I teach. It's just, this is how you're going to get better in this situation. And students really respond to it.
Definitely. You're a teaching professional at your golf academy, Seaver Golf Academy, online at seavergolf.com. And what kind of programs do you offer there?
Well, one of the things that is unique that came out of my master's thesis, actually, my master's thesis was a 14-week mental skills training program. And in that 14 weeks, we never once worked on mechanics. The whole time was nothing but mental skills. And every single one of the participants in my study either during that time shot their best round ever or tied their best round ever. And not once did we do anything with the mechanical side of their game. And one of the key findings out of that study, well, there were a bunch, but one of the key findings was that regular participation in a structured environment, a structured improvement environment, is the best way to improve. And so the more I thought about that, the more I thought, well, you know, every other sport that we can think of has a coach, but not really in golf. So I started to think about how I could be a golf coach to people as opposed to just a golf teacher. And out of that came a program that we call actually the Golf Coach Program. And it's really unique and it's really fun and it's just astonishingly effective for my students. I set up a probably 40 to 50 hours of pre-scheduled practice time, and people come, they pay at one flat fee per month, and they come to as many practices as they can, and then they practice in a supervised environment. So I get to actually see them, be there with them while they're practicing. So I teach them how to practice, teach them how to think, teach them how to approach the game. And so it's a fabulous program for the students. It encourages students to actually come out and play and practice. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, the thought of practicing for 2 hours is like the thought of going to a dentist and having a root.
It is, though. It is.
And for a lot of people. But they say, you know, by the end of a practice, because we work on specific things, we work on techniques, we work in blocks and sets, and we work on new skill development, we work on, and, you know, improving swing issues and things like that. But we do it in kind of a structured way. Everybody works on their own thing, so it's not like a group. It's not like a group lesson. So everybody's working on their own thing, but it's kind of structured. And people often say, "My God, 2 hours up already! I want to keep going." So they wind up loving practice. Once you know how to practice, practice is actually a lot of fun because they find that they learn. And when they learn, it's fun. You know, if you're just going out there and beating balls, it's like, oh, God, it's kind of a drag. Often, you know, most of the golfers I see on the range are really kind of just wasting their time.
By giving them tools and the structure of, you know, how they should be practicing, it gives them structure. Because you can just flounder around.
Yeah. So can I share a couple of things that I learned that I don't know if it'll help your listeners, but...
Actually, yes. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. So I studied kinesiology and motor learning as part of my master's program. And one of the things that we know from motor learning is that the fastest way to improve is doing what's called random block sets. So when my students are working on whether it's technique or new skill development, we work in sets, and we usually work in sets of three balls or five balls, and then we work and rotate three drills in rotation, which kind of randomizes the process. So let's say that you're working on balance, and you want to improve your balance. We'll do one drill that will help you understand balance at the beginning of the swing, and we'll hit five balls, and then we'll do another drill working on balance, you know, dynamic balance through the swing, and then we'll do a third drill working on balance at the end of the swing, and then we'll start all over again. And you cycle through those drills in that rotation two or three times, and by the end of that, your ability to feel and discriminate and tell what's going on in your swing is really enhanced. So that makes it kind of fun because it doesn't feel like you're working on, you know, 12 things in any one given swing and you have no idea whether...
Yeah, it gets confusing if you do that.
Exactly.
It does. You get too much in the head.
Right. So by isolating just one thing at a time and using the drills to give yourself some feedback, you get to learn about that one particular aspect. And that's what I mean about students learning a lot faster. You know, I've done so much work in this area, I actually wound up writing a book about it. It's called The Practice Effect. And it's what happens when you practice really well. So my students can go out and get more done in an hour than most people can get done in a month on the range.
Now, your students, do you have any of, like, say, the mini tour players or, you know, Nationwide or anyone trying to make it? They usually have to be very structured in their practice.
They are. And I work from time to time with some of the guys on both the PGA Tour and the Nationwide Tours. And I've even got some people who are trying to qualify for the Champions Tour. So I work with players of all levels.
And you've written some other books as well, The Five Keys to Distance and The Three Keys to Scoring.
Well, that's right, and that one's going to come out pretty shortly.
So that's your new book.
That's the new one that's coming out shortly. You might imagine that, you know, when you've got a world champ, you know, world long drive championship, that one of the questions you get a lot is, can you help me hit the ball further? And so I had that question a lot when I was teaching, and I wound up teaching the same thing so often. I started to write things down for people. Okay, here's the first thing you need to work on. And what I did was I explained to people, in essence, the process that I had to go through to teach myself how to learn to swing faster. When I first started, even in the long drive, my swing speed was probably around 120 miles an hour or so. And maybe to put that in context, the average tour pro is around 112, and Tiger, I think, is around 124, John Daly's 127. And within about a two-month period, I was able to get my swing speed up to 140 miles an hour.
Oh, amazing.
So, well, that's, yeah, exactly. So I probably went about doing that the same way most people do, and I thought the answer was, well, I got to hit it harder. And so that's where I started, just trying to hit it as hard as I could, and it actually produced disastrous results. You know, my accuracy got worse, and you know, I got so much tension in my swing that I actually slowed down. And so I started to break the swing down and try to figure out how to swing a little bit faster, and I learned from the laws of physics that really how far you hit the ball is really a function of swing speed, not power. So I started to ask myself how I could swing faster, and I kind of went back and forth and did a whole bunch of stuff and ultimately came up with five things that are, they're conceptual. It's not necessarily a method, but these are the things that I explained in the five keys to distance. Like athletic balance is one of them. You know, the better balanced you are, the easier it is for you to rotate. So that's the first one. I came up with an acronym called BLAST, B-L-A-S-T, which is sort of appropriate for hitting long drives.
Perfect.
But these are the keys. So balance, leverage, getting a wider swing arc. So A arc is A. S is speed for speed, core speed, and T for target extension. And those are the things that I explained in my book, The Five Keys to Distance, BLAST. and it's just been really well received, and I've just had just an amazing number of people buy it all over the world and send me back notes of how well they're doing with it, so it's terrific.
Do you think the age has a big factor with the flexibility, you know, in order for to hit long distance? Because I know the young or the young guns, they're very flexible. And, you know, as you get older, say, you know, later on the PGA Tour, the Champions Tour, a lot of the players complain that they're just not as flexible as they'd like to be.
Absolutely. It's definitely a factor in your game and in your swing. That has to be, you know, taken into account. There are a lot of ways that you can, even if you don't necessarily have the flexibility, there are things that you can do to help yourself move differently to get the equivalent of flexibility. And I'll give you kind of an easy one, and that's your left foot. I think a few years ago, people started to teach the golf swing to keep the left foot planted on the ground. But I have quite a few senior clients, and I actually encourage them to get the left heel up off the ground. Because they can't have, they don't have as much rotation, but if their left heel comes up off the ground, they can keep their hips flat, which helps their back as they go through it, and it also helps to get them some extra flexibility, the equivalent of extra flexibility, so they can turn quite a bit easier.
Oh, that's a nice tip to know.
Yeah, and you know, one of my favorite swings anywhere is Annika Sörenstam, and I really sort of think her swing is the swing of the future, and she lifts her heel up when she hits her driver and then sort of reroutes it on the way down. So that's one of the things that helps her keep her hips level, which reduces back stress on the back. And so, yeah.
Well, actually, that will go into one of my other questions I was going to ask you. Why do you think, aside from, you know, size and strength, that men can hit the ball longer than women? You know?
Yeah. Kind of a good question. And there is a place for power in the swing, but it's not necessarily power throughout the hands and arms. It's really power being used to generate more core speed. So in other words, the faster you can turn your core to the target, the faster your arms will turn, the faster the club head will travel. And so men, generally speaking, are a little bit stronger through the legs, a little stronger through the core. The other place where power comes into play is being able to control the club face. So at higher speeds, you know, the faster you swing the club head, the more effective weight the club head has. So let's throw out the statistic. If you're swinging at 100 miles an hour, a 200-gram club head weighs like 15 or 16 pounds by the time it gets to impact. So you have to have a certain amount of strength just to be able to control the club face. And so that's actually the best use of strength, is to control the club face, not necessarily to generate speed. And so I think men generally have a little bit easier time, a little bit bigger muscles, a little stronger muscles, controlling the club face, and therefore they can control it at higher speeds. But I'll tell you, I mean, I've got 120-pound ladies who cannot drive 200-pound men just because their technique's better.
Well, listen, Eric, stay on the line. The amazing staff at Golfology have been serving the Boston area for 25 years.
To play like a pro, you have to shop at the best. Golfology offers the best top-of-the-line equipment, in-store demos, computerized club fitting, and certified golfologists ready to help you take your game to the next level. Golfology, 19 consecutive years as winner of the 25 best golf course retailers in America, according to Golf World Business. In Hanover and Hyannis, and online at GolfologyUSA.com.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. My guest tonight is world long drive champion Eric Jones, calling in from California. Eric, we only have a couple minutes left, so I kind of wanted to ask you a couple questions about some of the guys on tour and their swings.
Do my best.
I know. Now, I know you're on Twitter. Your Twitter handle is LDChamp, like long drive champ. And I want my listeners to feel free to tweet Eric any questions you may have. So I actually got a tweet from a local sports writer, Emily Kay, and she's at Golf Examiner. She tweeted me and asked me to ask you how Bubba Watson can hit it so far with so many moving parts in his swing.
Well, so number one, he's got phenomenal timing. But he, in essence, has learned to swing what I call to the target. So his whole body orients towards the target, and he actually accelerates through the impact zone to the target instead of accelerating to the ball. I think that's kind of a big mistake people make. A lot of golfers make. They think they need to swing at the ball. They actually need to swing through the ball to the target. And I think that's one of his keys. If you look at his impact position, his whole body is oriented toward his target. And so his hands and arms are lagging, you know, well behind.
Yeah.
He really maximizes his club head speed through the impact zone, not to the impact zone.
You also have a website, targetcenteredgolf.com. We only have about a minute left, so tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that's an information site that can tell you that where people could go to find more information about the five keys to distance and how that could help their game. And within another week or two, it's actually going to be a blog site where I hope to share some really good information about learning how to play more consistent and more reliable golf.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Eric, and good luck with your launching of your new book.
Tune in to Goldie Bounce Golf Live, heard every Sunday night at 6:30 exclusively on 95.9 WATD.